It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Wheeling resident and President Trump's head of the Mine Safety and Health Administration spoke in West Virginia last week about coal miner deaths.
Surely there has to be better ways to get these under control. If we can get technology to come to the rescue again, we will.
That story in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's been more than 20 years since Martinsburg had an inpatient detox facility. That changed last week. Liz McCormick has more.
Last week's open house for the Paloma Crisis Stabilization and Detox Center attracted dozens from the community. The project took 2 years and was funded through a state grant of more than $1 million. The center will offer 16 beds to people with substance use disorders. It will be open 24/7. Detox facilities exist in Martinsburg, but none allow clients to stay overnight. Until now, folks in the Eastern Panhandle who have West Virginia Medicaid and are seeking substance use treatment had to travel as far as Morgantown or farther to find a detox facility where they could stay. This change is exciting news for Hope dealer Tina Stride, who stopped by the open house last week. Stride is one of three women who founded the Hope Dealer Project in Martinsburg. Hope dealers volunteer to transport a person with substance use disorder to an inpatient detox facility anywhere in the state.
When I walked in the doors, I wanted to cry. This is wonderful because now instead of taking 2.5 to 6 hours to get someone help that's dope sick, we're going to be able to go 2 minutes and tell them they're here.
The facility is bright, with walls painted in warm yellows and greens. There are inspirational quotes on the walls, as well as paintings and other art. Along with the 16 beds, the center has a dining area, a lounge, a classroom-like space, and a section of offices for therapists and psychiatrists. The center will employ roughly 30 people. Martinsburg resident Peter Callahan spearheaded the project. He's a therapist and social worker. Callahan says he wants the Paloma Center to spark hope in the community.
It's hope to the families, hope to the addicts, hope to people in crisis, that they have a place to come to get stable and go on with their journey of recovery and hopefully a full sustained recovery.
Berkeley County sees some of the highest numbers of drug-related overdose deaths in the state following Cabell. The Paloma Center will start seeing clients October 1st. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
President Trump's top mine safety regulator used a recent lecture at West Virginia University to lay out his priorities for the agency charged with keeping miners safe. David Zatuzzolo, a West Virginia native and former mine executive, focused on how the Mine Safety and Health Administration could use technology to reduce mining fatalities and injuries. But as Brittany Patterson reports, he offered few remedies for the shocking increase in black lung disease.
During his address to students, faculty, and industry representatives, David Zatuzzolo presented a vision for safer mines across the United States.
You shouldn't have to die because you made a mistake. Everybody makes them.
Zatuzzolo was confirmed as head of the Mine Safety and Health Administration last November. He says the agency is committed to using technology to continue to reduce miner fatalities and injuries involving big machinery and conveyor belts. Those accounted for half of last year's mining deaths.
Surely there has to be better ways to get these under control. If we can get technology to come to the rescue again, we will.
But for coal miners, the epidemic resurgence of black lung disease has become a major health threat. Recently, a large cluster of the worst form of black lung has been found in central Appalachia. In 2014, MSHA strengthened dust exposure rules. This summer, the agency announced it would study the rules' effectiveness. Mine safety advocates were concerned that could lead to rollbacks. Zatuzzolo says that's not the case.
Let me put this in unambiguous terms. This rule, this retrospective study, has nothing to do with those parameters.
But Zatuzzolo presented no plan to further limit exposure to hazardous coal and rock dust.
I'm extremely concerned that the Mine Safety and Health Administration does not have any sense of urgency about that.
Celeste Monfortin is a lecturer of public health at Texas State University. She says the agency can and should do more.
We need to propose a regulation that is going to mandate a more protective exposure limit, and an exposure limit that specifically addresses exposure to respirable quartz.
Also absent from Zitaslow's talk were details on how the agency would use its most powerful compliance tools. The MSHA Pattern of Violations program is used to crack down on repeat violators of safety and health standards. Joe Main was head of MSHA under President Obama. Under his tenure, the agency beefed up enforcement actions and made changes to how the Pattern of Violations tool was used.
These are tools that work to put the industry in a better place and put miners in a safer place.
Recently, agency officials lifted those tougher enforcement actions for a West Virginia mine, raising concerns about the commitment to the program.
I was a bit worried about that settlement, quite frankly.
Under federal law, mines must have a clean health and safety inspection in order to end a pattern of violations notice. But MSHA data show Pocahontas Coal Company's Affinity Mine received 37 serious citations this year. Tony Alpegard, a mine safety lawyer based in Kentucky, says the agency's decision to settle sends the wrong message.
They took the Affinity Mine off of the pattern, even though that they had never complied with the statutory requirement. I just think it's wrong.
After his lecture, I asked Mr. Zitaslow about the concerns over the Affinity Mine safety record.
The MSHA inspectors that inspect the mine feel that it's a very good mine.
Do you have any concerns that that settlement might dilute the pattern of violations as a tool?
No.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the CAMC Foundation, providing financial support for patients and services at CAMC Women and Children's Hospital, including the CAMC Children's Cancer Center. Learn more at CAMCFoundation.org.